Lake Effect brings you conversations about what's happening in Milwaukee and the people, places, and organizations that shape the community. This is Lake Effect Spotlight from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
Imagine a vacant lot. Do you see overgrown weeds, maybe some stray trash that blew in from the wind? On these sites, Antoine Carter sees opportunity. Carter has a long career in leaving things better than he found them. He started by turning vacant lots into community gardens, then helped turn dozens of blank building walls into murals, and he's currently the director of philanthropy at the Milwaukee Public Library Foundation. Carter's also featured in this month's Milwaukee Magazine for his plan to build apartment buildings on vacant lots near Milwaukee's Moody Park. He joins Lake Effect Sam Woods to talk about the plans and his work, starting by explaining what gardening taught him about opportunity.
The very first project I worked on was in my neighborhood. We took a vacant space that had a lot of bad energy. Someone was murdered on the steps of the house that was there. And to create that level of positivity out of a very negative situation and a negative space really inspired me to make that kind of a part of my mission as a person getting into this work. And so I was able to do a lot of amazing projects alongside residents in Milwaukee and people who hadn't known each other, who were unhappy with what they saw in their neighborhood and who came together to improve that space. I think for me, that was something that I got hooked on very, very quickly and easily. And it turned from 40 gardens to 60 to 75 to, I think about the time I was done, there was over 100 community gardens, pocket parks, orchards, art spaces on vacant lots in the city. So something I'm very proud of.
I'm wondering if you, when you look back at these, all of these vacant lots that are now, community gardens partly by your hand, what is your feeling as you pass these lots, knowing the history that came before it and your hand in creating this future?
You know what? When I drive past projects, I think of the amazing people who led them. So the care in which someone took to even vision about what this would look like. So I think about all the residents who their sweat equity continue to push along the things that I just helped start that were ideas that they had anyway. So yeah, there's a lot of dope projects that I drive past and I think of amazing people like Andre Lielis and Fidel Verdeen and Melody and Danelle in Metcalf Park and a lady named Pat Ott who had a garden on 24th and I think Locust. And you just think of all these awesome people, Kathy Ann and Tina in Uptown Crossing. And, you know, I appreciated how they took matters into their own hands and really made an impact. So I really think about them.
So moving forward in your professional development, soon mm-hmm. after focusing on turning vacant lots into community gardens, you were involved in turning blank building walls throughout Southeast Wisconsin into murals.
Yes.
So is the through line here between gardens and murals as simple as I just like beautiful things and I want more beautiful things in the world? Or is there more to it than that for you?
I think step one would be I personally only want to do dope things. But I would also say two, yeah, it was an evolution. It was how can I continue to leave things better than I left them? And so I got connected with an artist named Stacey Williams Ung, who was working on a project that was up and coming, Black Hat Alley. And so I was able to manage that for 2 years, doing the same thing. I was doing the same thing, like working with community groups. You help them vision what this space would be. And I did that did kind of the same thing just with municipalities or business improvement districts and worked with them to create a thing and identify how we could make it the dopest thing possible. So I feel like everything had the same sort of process. And luckily, I was available to highlight the skills that I learned at Crown Work and kind of just replace vacant space with wall and community garden with art. And it was a lot of the same things. And it was people who were unhappy with what they were seeing.
You're listening to Lake Effect on WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Sam Wood speaking with Antoine Carter. And if you've been listening for a few minutes, you may think that I'm here to list the most comprehensive resume in Milwaukee. And you'd be forgiven because I'm going to introduce yet another pillar of your work, Antoine, fundraising. Yes. So you're currently the director of philanthropy for the Milwaukee Public Library Foundation. So to start, can you just unpack what this role is about?
Yeah. Most people do not know what the Milwaukee Public Library Foundation is. And so I would say what taxpayer dollars covers is amazing buildings, awesome librarians, heat, electricity, rent, delicious books, and everything that is essentially above and beyond that is mostly covered by private dollars in a public-private partnership, and the foundation leads the private side. And so we have our own board. We are a 501c3, and our goal is to support 90% of the programs hosted at our 13 branches that cover children and adult literacy, workforce development, technology and maker spaces, art and culture, environmental sustainability, and economic development. And so my job is to make things easy for whoever is interested in supporting the library.
Is there a project or library initiative that stands out that you want to highlight of like, yes, we made that happen, or we, you know, this, you know, this is an example of what the Milwaukee Public Library Foundation can bring to the world?
Oh, I would say makerspaces. Makerspaces off the top of my head.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Our neighborhood branches are actually very in tune with what the neighbors needed. And so as the library, because they're a separate entity, as they started to renovate past branches, this idea of a makerspace came out. And there are currently three, but there will be four maker spaces. The first one is in the Mitchell branch, and that kind of started. There is a demo kitchen with a coordinator who facilitates healthy eating programming, as well as a music studio and computers so that young people can write their raps and make their beats, use a computer to make their cover art, and get a delicious, healthy snack as they do all that. And that idea has spread through other library branches. Washington Park has more robotics-related programming and amenities. Good Hope has a CNC cutter and a 3D printer, an ode to the industrial area. And Martin Luther King, our newest branch, which will be coming very, very soon, we'll have a makerspace as well. So super excited about that. My childhood branch was Martin Luther King. So it has been an honor to be a part of a group who helps make that space even more inspirational and connected to the community.
Yeah. So if I can kind of sum up what a makerspace is, if this is the first time someone's hearing about them, I mean, you described how they vary to different locations, but you know, at their core, this is a you know, often loud environment in a library.
Very
where
loud.
Where you can you know, there's tools and resources, whether it be robotics, a kitchen, what have you, where, you know, you can explore, you can pick up a new skill, meet other people who are interested in the same thing, and especially young people gather, you know, mm-hmm. safely in a library doing things you love.
Yes, with teens supporting teens.
That's right.
Which is the best part.
Love it. So I want to ask a kind of a big question about the relationship between dreams and money. So I can imagine, you know, early career Antoine, he's doing work with artists, he's doing work with gardens, and correct me if I'm wrong, but he may be driven by there are just endless possibilities here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with this vacant lot, we can put anything into this vacant lot. We can make this garden look and feel and do anything we want to do. But money can have a way of putting limits on dreams, mm-hmm. right? Like, how many times have we heard we don't have the budget for that?
Mm-hmm.
Has this been your experience in when you're working in philanthropy, or am I maybe reaching or misunderstanding here?
I think it's all about perspective. I view it as oftentimes a math problem, and to get to 10, that is, you know, 1 + 9, that's 2 + 8, that's 5 + 5, that's 15, take away 5. And so for me, in all of my roles, money has always been needed to get things forward. You need money to build a garden. You need money to pay artists. You need money to provide all the things for a makerspace. And so I think I have just leaned into the quality of what the outcome will be and really lean heavily on that as I do the work. That's libraries are amazing in their institutions. And so for me personally, I think about the times I was a kid and I used the library. And I think those things allow the ability to explain the true value of things, which should hopefully inspire people to give.
So catching up to today, you are featured in this month's Milwaukee Magazine in part because of your plan to turn vacant lots near Moody Park into apartment buildings. So really straightforward, tell me more about this plan.
So honestly, it started with me coming to a realization that I drive through Milwaukee and you see skyscrapers in one area being built and you see nothing but maybe liquor stores being rebuilt in other neighborhoods. And I no longer want to be a person on social media posts just writing words. And so really thinking about how I could benefit my city in a new way. Building buildings seemed like a very logical step in kind of starting from vacant lots, working on walls. And so I know there are thousands of vacant lots in the city. And I know that the potential of Milwaukee is really heavily set in those spaces, because what else can we make better, right? Those are all open canvases to beautify in all sorts of ways. And so for me, just leaning into the skill set I have and kind of growing up and seeing my best friend's grandma's house get torn down and seeing my other friends' family's homes get torn down and nothing happening after, and 10 years passes, 15 years passes, 20 years passes. I don't want it to be 25 years, 30 years. And rather than putting the onus on someone else to do it, I looked at myself.
So I can't help but notice we've returned to vacant lots here, whereas, yeah, you know, a decade ago it might have been turning vacant lots into gardens. Now we're trying to turn vacant lots into homes. Do you have any idea of timeline for construction? Because, you know, there's building a garden bed, right? And then there's building a home. Any idea when we should start seeing some movement on this?
My goal will be next year. A lot of behind the scenes stuff is happening right now. Trying to get numbers and words as fine polished as I can get. And I've had a lot of amazing partners and mentors and advisors who are really helping me as this is my first project. However, for me, it's a passion project because I've grew up in all these neighborhoods and have hung around. So for right now, it's a lot of pre-development stuff, architects, engineers. The goal would be to fundraise over next year and then hopefully by the end of next year start to have shovels in the ground.
So I want to end on a pretty big question. But first I'll say that I've only lived in Milwaukee for about 8 years now. But a consistent conversation that we seem to have is how to keep people here. You know, how do we make Milwaukee a place of opportunity? And when I look at you and I hear you talk about turning vacant lots into gardens, turning blank building walls into murals, finding money for makerspaces, turning vacant lots into homes, I see someone who doesn't need to be convinced that this is a place of opportunity. You're seeing opportunity in a vacant lot, right? So help me be as convinced as you. How can I see the city differently? How can I find potential in the everyday?
You know what? I talk to people. I talk to a lot of residents. And what I learned is that there are a ton of people who care about our city and want to make their space as nice as they can, with hopefully thinking that the critical mass of everyone else will do that and it will make the city better. There are a lot of my friends who have struggled with the evils of the world who talk to me about how they want to seek more purpose in their lives and contribute in a more positive way. I have a lot of friends who have done bad things and now want to buy homes and improve the neighborhoods that they help deteriorize. You see young people who, from my perspective, aren't provided with a lot of opportunities to find their purpose. And so we see a lot of things happening. So for me, I think Milwaukee can only do better. I think we can only get better because those people, if we can finally find something to provide purpose and provide something for them to feel positive, to feel like they're contributing to the greater good. The people are there who want to do it. And so providing people with things to do, not busy work, purposeful programming, purposeful activities. Milwaukee is too gritty and too creative. Everyone loves the hustle and they want to be a part of it. And they don't know how. And I think if Milwaukee could find more ways to provide that for people, the possibilities are unlimited.
That was Antoine Carter, Director of Philanthropy at the Milwaukee Public Library Foundation. He spoke with Lake Effect's Sam Woods, and you can hear their extended conversation at WUWM.com.
You can find more interviews like this one by visiting WUWM.com/Lake Effect. And while you're there, subscribe to the Lake Effect Spotlight podcast.